This episode was brought to you by our patrons. Thank you so much to everyone who supports us through Patreon. If you guys have any suggestions for future episodes, we listen to you, our patrons, above all else. So let us know what you want to hear. We'd be happy to incorporate all of your feedback. And until then, enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Explominate Podcast.
Welcome, friends, to the Explominate Podcast. I am your host, Rob, and joining me tonight is Ben. Welcome, Ben.
Greetings.
I'm glad to have you back. I'm sorry you weren't feeling well for our last episode, but you're good now, right?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm doing this crazy diet at the moment, and my partner put a little bit too much of a certain kind of sweetener into our food, and it was just... I'm not going to tell you what happened, but you can use your imagination. I was really, really ill all day, basically. So, yeah, that's... While I was supposed to be recording podcasts, I was sitting on a throne.
Yes, great start. And it reminded me, as you said that, of this Haribo sugarless gummy bear, like, review set on Amazon. If you go to Amazon and you Google, like, Haribo sugar-free gummies... You'll read all these reviews about just how wonderful, how fantastic it is for your digestive system. I won't spoil any of it. It's so great. Go do it. And with that, welcome, Drexy.
Hey, I don't know how to follow it up, to be honest. I went to the toilet once today, and it was pretty solid. So, yeah.
Oh, I love it. So great. And with that, let's talk about what we're going to talk about tonight. I'm going to start off by telling you that this is a bonus episode just for our patrons through Patreon, because we love you guys and we thought that it would be kind of fun to do a fun episode like this. And what really was the impetus for this episode is that with our lengthy discussion on Crusader Kings 3 and how we discussed a lot of the improvements it made over the base game of Crusader Kings 2, we started kind of thinking and postulating about what could possibly be that big of an improvement for Stellaris 2 over Stellaris 1. And, you know, of course, that got the gears turning, and we were like, man, this would be a great episode because we could sit down and discuss the things we really actually do enjoy about Stellaris, why it is such a powerhouse in the 4X and Grand Strategy world, and then maybe really kind of give some suggestions on what Stellaris 2 could do to win some of us over, or maybe make it a game that we would enjoy more. And with that being said, I'd really like to start on a positive note and start talking about some of the things that we actually do enjoy about Stellaris 1.
Fields, rocks, mountainsides, lend me your ears.
And Ben, I was hoping you could kind of let us know what you think works for Stellaris 1.
Yeah, I mean, just before I do, I think it's worth putting this into context. I think anybody who's been listening to our podcast for a while we'll know we've all got this sort of love-hate thing with Stellaris, and there's a reason for that, right? The game is a lot of fun for a while, and it's unfeasibly popular as well. It's one of these games like Endless Space 2 that's just, it just seems to be way more popular than I would expect for a game of that quality. It's got a lot of content. There's just so many people who love it. It constantly tops, you know, any polls that we do to do with Best 4X, you know, Best Space 4X, along with Endless Space 2. So it's clearly doing something right for someone. I like the game for this, you know, for the introduction, well, the explore side of the game, I think. They've really top-loaded the game in that respect. So to answer the question, I think where Stellaris really is strong is in all the fluff, with the way that it presents the story to you. the fact that there are so many of these story events and exploration events, or these, when you find a new planet, there's all these kind of these little story events that happen while you're doing the, you know, the research on the planets, and you know they can go in different ways. That's really cool. It's got this kind of Star Trek vibe to it, that you know you're exploring this strange universe and you're coming across all these different things. Stellaris is excellent in that. Secondly, I'd say that it has a phenomenal scope with regards to the way that you can take your growing civilization. So, you know, you nurture them from when they're setting off on just one planet, and you're setting up all these, there's so many options with regards to, you know, your race, the way that you know, the civics that you choose, the political systems, all this kind of stuff. It's really, really good. And it's constantly interesting most of the way through the game, because you can keep altering your race. You can, you know, you can kind of genetically alter them. You can use cybernetics. You can enslave other races. There's just so much scope for role-playing in the game. It's really, really good. So, Drexy, what do you think?
Yeah, for me, like, Stellaris is very much a comfy blanket for me, and it's actually one of the most played games I have on Steam. Like you said, they totally nailed the early game. The way you set up the galaxy, the options you have on how the galaxy is formed, and the way you set up your race. Like Ben said, the early game is absolutely phenomenal. And it's, I think why it's popular is because it's easy to get into. It's, you know, it sort of eases you in with all the story events and the exploration and stuff. And it's only once you start getting deeper into the game where things start to get fall apart. So I'm sure we'll talk about that later. How about you, Rob?
Yeah, I think that the few things that stick out to me that I've really enjoyed about Stellaris are, first, its scope, right? And I think very few games get that scope correctly. And the way that they try to mitigate the management of that scope, I think was smart, right? Like the sector system and stuff like that. But you also, their maps are huge. I mean, second only to maybe possibly Distant Worlds, but I feel like Stellaris's maps feel a little more controllable, more manageable. And I think that's a big thing for a game that you know, can have maps that size. And, you know, I agree with both you guys. I think the early game exploration is probably top in class. It's phenomenal, really. You know, there's a lot of people that have played this game for hundreds and hundreds of hours and still see events that, you know, that are new to them. And I've got 288 hours or something like that with Stellaris, and I still see events that I've never seen. And that's usually because, you know, I go down different ways and I choose different paths and stuff like that. And, you know, and I really like that. And I also really enjoy the tradition system where you're accumulating Unity points and then you're picking like perks, skill perks, for your empire that, you know, kind of, they can really shape the way you play your game. I really enjoy that part. You know, and I also really like you mentioned, that I really do like the race development, right? Like when you first start a game and you get to choose like the variety of things that you want for your race, whether it be like their, you know, their home planet type, or even their background, or their flag, or, you know, just their look, or their spaceship look. I mean, all that stuff, that's really cool. And I do like that, you know, for the most part, the game is played by creating your custom race. Like very few people take the pre-made custom or the pre-made races. So I mean, there's a lot of things going for it. I really do believe that. And I agree with you, Drexy. I think that the early game is so good that when you get to the middle game and the late game, in my opinion, it's held to such a high standard at that point that you're having such a hard, you know, you're having a really hard time sticking with the game because the beginning of it is so front loaded that, you know, the middle and end game starts to feel a little boring. But we'll get into that.
While we're being kind to Stellaris,
new frontiers established.
I think it's worth saying that I think with this new economic system that they brought in, I don't know, was it like some 2.4 or something or somewhere around that time, where they had this, you know, they've got all these kind of things, items that you can create, and then jobs, and, you know, the jobs thing, the new civic management essentially is what I'm talking about, that replaced the old building system, which it's much more interesting. And I think that they, you know, Paradox made a real effort to try to make the middle game, the mid game, more interesting with that. And I think if you're the sort of person who likes micromanaging economics in your empire, then you're going to enjoy that. I actually, the last time I played Stellaris, that was the most fun that I had, because it had been such a long time since I'd played it that I'd forgotten how it all worked. So I was trying to figure that system out, and there's some fun, I think, in working out how these new how this new economic system is, what you need to build if you want to go for a certain thing, what traditions that you need in order to maximize your economic output, all this kind of stuff. So I think that they did make an effort to give the player something to do in that bit of the in that bit of the game at the end of the early phase, beginning of the mid game, where it slows down. You've hit your boundaries. The frontier is gone, and you're bumping up with some of the other races, and you know you kind of like you're fighting over like you know the last sort of uninhabited planets. That is when this new sort of economic system is kind of interesting, because then you're moving into that exploit expand kind of phase of the game, and they've made a real effort there, I think.
Yeah, I think they totally nailed the race creation, because you know, you can decide how you want to play, whether you're going to be wide or tall, or you're going to be really diplomatic and have a lot of allies, or you're just going to be a fanatic purifier and just exterminate the whole empire. And I actually played multiplayer with a friend who's not really into Forex, and that's what he really likes. He likes to play really tall and just turtle. And, you know, for someone, and I could see why it's popular with non-Forex people, because they can sort of pick their little comfort zone and sort of stick to that.
Well, it's also popular with Forex fans who don't like the usual way that you have to win Forex games, which is kind of expand out as quickly as possible, and then you're on war footing, and then you have to fight wars, and then there's that kind of tedious mopping up phase at the end. That's traditionally how Space Forex games kind of went, right? So I think that because it at least on the surface seems to give you more options with the way that you can play, I think that's very appealing to people.
Can I ask how many of you, percentage-wise, how many of you have actually finished a game of Stellaris, if that's even possible? Because I'd say probably 95% of the time I've never finished a game of Stellaris. I just start a new one.
Well, that's something I have a problem with in all 4X games. I almost never finish a 4X game. Just because by the time things are wrapping up or I think that I'm going to win, it's just not fun anymore. So, you know, I don't, especially with a game that's requiring me to meet a certain point threshold or for me to, you know, conquer every city or something like that. I just get to the point where I'm like, this is an inevitable win. I don't finish them. I will honestly say, and, you know, I'll go on record and say that I have only finished Endless Legend games, and that's only because I wanted to see the ending cutscene for a lot of the factions. Almost every other 4X game, I just stopped short of actually finishing them.
Yeah, similar with me. And I think, I can't remember if I've actually finished a game of Stellaris. I've certainly seen the endgame crisis a couple of times. I've got about 100, I've got over 100 hours in Stellaris, somewhere between 100 and 110, if I remember right. And what does it take? Maybe anywhere between sort of 10, 30 hours to finish a game. So I know I've finished a couple of games, at least to the point where, in typical Paradox game fashion, I've been like, right, that's the end now, because mopping up here is going to take hours and I really cannot be bothered. I've got better things to do. So I think that, to answer Drexy's question, I haven't finished that many games of Stellaris. I usually give up somewhere in the you know, kind of around the mid-game.
Yeah, for me, the mopping up phase is a lot bigger or larger or more of a chore to do than any other 4X game. I don't know, are we supposed to be getting into what we dislike yet? I mean, it's kind of flowed into that already, but I mean, other 4X is you feel closer to the end where you can say, right, I don't need to finish this off. But in Stellaris, I feel like if I wanted to win the game, it will take me another 10 hours, if you get what I mean. Whilst other 4Xs, it might be another couple hours.
Yeah, and this is something I know we've discussed before, but it's something that I really want to harp on when we start talking about Stellaris 2, which I think we're about to really kind of just segue in here real soon. But it's something that I feel like where it works in Paradox's other games, you know, Europa Universalis, Crusader Kings, even Hearts of Iron in some ways. You know, I haven't played much of Victoria, but I think it also kind of works for them too, is that they don't really have victory conditions because the game continues, right? There's like the time continues. There's no reason to have like a victory, quote unquote. But here with what I believe is a very 4X like game, I believe that the game is worse off for not having victory conditions, because Like you said, I mean, there just comes a point where you're kind of, you know, screwed. You're tired. You're just whatever, you know. You've lost interest in your game regardless of how many hours you put into it. And there is something to be said about having that, you know, that climax, you know, that ending that you need for most games. And, you know, to never get there for Stellaris kind of feels, it feels empty, right?
I think that's something that dedicated gamers aren't going to have a problem with. If let's say that you've, you know, Stellaris is your main game, it's the one that you love, you play it loads, then people are probably not going to have that problem so much. I think that's more of an issue for people like us who try to taste a little bit of everything. And this is a classic 4X issue, you know, this late game fatigue. I think one of the things that exasperates the problem with Stellaris is the fact that the maps are so big and there's usually a lot of races. So let's say, just to put it into perspective quickly, let's say Master of Orion or Remnants of the Precursors, whichever, or Master of Orion 2. Generally, how that game will work is you've whittled down a few of your neighbors. You'll conquer your neighbors and then you'll face up for this big end game against maybe one or two factions. And it's quite easy to break the back of that last faction or those last two factions by sniping out one of their main, you know, production planets. You kind of know when you've won in those games. And then it's usually not a big problem for you to mop up if you want. I don't think it's that easy in Stellaris because there's more factions. You've got these crazy endgame crises which often destroy you, you know, to the point where you don't have much left to fight with. You know, there are several reasons why Stellaris kind of lags in the endgame. And I don't think saying, well, you know, it's a Paradox game, they're meant to be left when you want to. I don't think that really works with Stellaris. It's not really that kind of game. It's not Victoria 2. It's very different.
Right, and here's the problem where it's kind of a 4X, kind of a grand strategy, and it ends up not working. I have no problems with finishing, not taking the whole world in EU4 or CK3, but because it's a 4X game, you kind of feel like that should be your goal. Right, why in EU4 or something, that's not really your goal. And I have tried to play Stellaris on smaller maps, less empires, and then the game just doesn't work like that. So you either play this really big game, which is kind of a grand strategy, but it's a 4X, or you try and play it like a 4X with less empires and smaller galaxies, and the game just doesn't work like that. So I think moving on to when we start talking about Stellaris 2, I feel we need to discuss how they're going to break the mold and whether they're just going to make it more of a pure 4X or more of a grand strategy.
So I think, okay, so let's do it, right? So this is Stellaris 2, in my opinion. And then, of course, I want to hear what you guys want to say, and then maybe we can break in. Maybe we can find some common ground and figure out what it is that we could do to make Stellaris 2 the game that I think all of us wanted, right? So let me just outline the few talking points that I have here that I think are going to make Stellaris 2 a better game. Because I think that with what you said about whether or not it needs to lean more into 4X or grand strategy, I think it can do both. It just needs to be doing both in a different way. So first and foremost, I think Paradox games have diplomatic systems that are above and beyond any other, you know, strategy games at all. Like Europa Universalis feels like, I mean, beyond everything else, like it's got so much going for it, but it also felt like a diplomatic chessboard, right? There were things that you needed to do to line up, to have allies, to do all these things to keep yourself alive and, you know, to strike when the iron's hot and to make sure that when you did, you had the right allies behind you and you weren't overwhelmed by, you know, your enemy's allies. That whole diplomacy system, that whole like diplomatic Cold War that existed within Europa Universalis never existed in Stellaris. It still doesn't, and I really want that to happen. And I also want them to have more of a focus on heroes. I think that, you know, a cool thing and something I was really hoping when we first heard that Paradox was going to be releasing a 4X grand strategy game hybrid was that there was going to be a focus on characters, right? At least at some level. And there isn't really at all, right? All your characters are pretty forgettable. With that being said, I also think that the grand strategy focus in the mid game should be more fleshed out. You know, I think that once you have all of your races and factions, after they've gobbled up all the land and all the area that they're going to and things start to settle down, that mid game needs to feel more grand strategy-like. Because it pretty much is basically like once all the map is painted in that way, You know, it could fall back into like a Europa Universalis or even like a Crusader Kings kind of grand strategy game. And that never really gets to the point. Now, there's a few reasons why I think about that and why I think it doesn't really get there. And we can talk about that here in a minute. And then I've got a few more things here, a few more talking points. Another thing that I think is going to help out, would help out Stellaris 2, and something that they talked about. I know that, you know, a few of the earlier lead developers for Stellaris, including Martin, was saying that they really wanted to see like civilian trade within distant worlds and have like trade systems that were a bit more like deep or at least a bit more intricate. And, you know, I think that having civilian trade on the map adds a great deal to the immersion and general feel of the universe too.
I think you've just hit the nail on the head there. There's not enough ways to interact with other civilizations in a way that can affect them and affect their way that they play other than war. It's, you know, and Stellaris, I wanted to say this earlier, but Stellaris doesn't do war very well. It's just not a very good war game, even with the changes after 2.0 to try to create choke points, you know, by restricting everyone's star lanes, which I think is a better system, actually. I know people were upset with that, but I think it's a better game as a result, at least tactically. But still, it's just not a very good war game. And I don't think that if we're going to focus on making this a grand strategy game, not only do they have to make the war better, the way that war resolves and the way that you engage in tactical battles, the control that you have needs to be better, but they also need to give the player some way of fucking with your enemies that aren't necessarily just diplomatic or warfare based. So this means having a working economy. So if you can, you know, if you've got material, like in Distant Worlds Universe, right, one of the things that makes that game great is that you can cut people off from certain types of materials that they need. They literally need them to be able to build any more ships. They literally need Kazlon or, you know, whatever fuel you're using. And if they can't get it, they're going to go to war with you. And you can kind of trade it to them, that kind of stuff. Now, that is what makes a grand strategy game. I mean, there's games like Imperiums, which has just come out by Cube Games, and that plays with this idea where, you know, you need wood to build units, and if you've run out of wood, you've got to trade it from your neighbors. So all of a sudden, going to war with them is not an option. You've got to start playing nice and trading with them. I want to see that with Stellaris, because that's probably the only thing that's actually going to make the game interesting for me. Anyway,
I agree, and I think that you could have it be that you go to war with somebody to gather those resources, or you know, you have to make nice and gather those resources. Or, I mean, with a game like this, you could have like a darker side of your empire that's like conducting piracy, right? You know these trade routes, the whatever it is to your right, you know, like the alien horde that's to the west of where you are, they have, you know, whatever resource it is you're looking for. So you set up piracy routes, right? You set up choke points where, you know, you might be able to grab some of them as they come through, stuff like that. And you're right, I think that's going to add a lot to not only like the interactions within the variety of factions and stuff, but I think it does something for the tension, right? Like that's part of the reason why I feel like there's less tension in Stellaris. You have to create the tension a lot of times in Stellaris, whereas I think that if there was more of this trade element to Stellaris, it might create more tension. And definitely, or it may, you know, even go the other side, like you said, it may even just be like a friendly tension. It might mean, you know, you're making friends with somebody you weren't really expecting to.
Yeah, I mean, that's some great points, but I feel they need to get rid of all the band-aids they've put on that they tried to solve the mid-game with, whether it be colony management, mid-game crisis, using the Horde to raid people, and now the Federations. And I feel they tried to make the mid-game, they added this thing to solve the problems with the mid-game, but it just didn't work.
Speaking of that, and I think this is probably going to be one of my more controversial suggestions, but I think they need to reduce colony management, simplify colony management to the point where it's almost non-existent. So I think that's what Distant Worlds did very well, because I think that when you get to the point where you're managing many, many colonies, if you set them to a certain, you know, focus, and you kind of deal with less of that and more of like, you know, like in Stellaris, I'm sorry, like in Distant Worlds, where you're handling where mines go and where a variety of resource collections are being placed, that's more important than what the planet is doing, right? Like, the planet should be self-sufficient. It should be able to help, but it shouldn't be, like, I cannot stand colony management when you start getting 5, 6, 7 planets, and then way more than that.
Right. They did kind of try to fix it. They have made it better, but it's still too, you still, like, I used to call Stellaris the best clicker game because the previous system, there was so much clicking, but still, you're having to micromanage your planets too much. And also, when you take planets and when a faction is unhappy with you, the races you've taken are unhappy with you. Like, for example, in CK3, because it's not systems, it's areas, you can just send your marshal to work on an area to improve relations with the people you've just taken land from. But in Stellaris, it's because it's planet-based, it just, I don't know.
I forget now, is there a governor, you know, like an AI governor like there is in most other Space 4X games that can take over that for you? You know, like in Civ as well.
This is the other problems, because you had the sectors, but it was a mess. Then the sectors are just, they're sort of automatic now, I believe, whilst before you had to form them. They did try and do that, and then you can put someone in a management, manage that sector, but I don't know. It just, now I think you just put them on planets, but it just doesn't work anywhere near as, say, EU4, CK3. And I'm not smart enough to come up with an answer, but how can you make individual star systems work like you have counties and duchies and stuff like that in CK3? There's got to be a way of sort of just being able to just merge a whole piece of space and that be treated as like just one area rather than individual stars.
Okay, so there's a couple of points there. I think that I don't have a real problem with the colony management until there's a lot of planets. Now, usually, I mean, the standard way that 4X game developers sort that out is just to have an AI running it that you can turn on and off. I've got no problem with that. If you can just say to the colony governor, I want you to build military stuff, I want you to build, you know, I want you to focus on population, that kind of, like we've been able to do since the dawn of civilization, and I mean the game Civilization. You know, like I think that's surely got to be able to fix it. The other alternative is, which is something that Drexy's just said, is if perhaps we make it more like Crusader Kings, and you have quite a complex, well, a more fleshed out character model, so that you can say, okay, we've got like dukes and barons and that kind of thing, and you can they actually run their little corner of the galaxy on their own, and you give them instructions. Now that would take a lot of the micromanagement away, and it would send the game more down the route of something like Alliance of the Sacred Suns or
Star Dynasties.
That's the one, Rob. Go ahead.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth, actually. I think that would be a fork in the road for them, right? They would need to figure out if they wanted to go somewhere a little bit more abstract and kind of do what Drex is saying and maybe give us the ability to like make states, right? Or whatever you want to call them within our own empires. Or if they want to, like you said, Ben, kind of go the road of adding these duchies or whatever you want to call them, whatever it is, you know, you give them a name, but you kind of sector off this empire you have, and then provide characters that maybe even interact in ways that you might see of like maybe a light Crusader Kings, right? Where these people have an agenda on their own, that you see what kind of personality traits they have, and that would provide some very dynamic gameplay that doesn't exist in Stellaris right now. And, you know, as games, and this would be something I think would really help with the mid game too, because once you get to the mid game and you start assigning these characters to the variety of sectors or states or duchies or whatever you want to call them, that would, you know, be, that would have kind of cut off or sectored off part of the empire, you could play that kind of game for a little bit. You could play that grand strategy, that character manipulator type game for a little while, but also, you know, need to still play a bigger part of the whole universe, and, you know, and still need to make sure that you're conducting diplomacy and external stuff just as well as you are managing your own internal stuff and watching the crazy, you know, stories that appear from all that.
Yeah, they've got vessels, but it really doesn't work unless you build your empire at the start of the game to have vassals. It's almost impossible I find, I don't, maybe I'm playing wrong, but I find it really hard to have vassals. And even the way the vassals work, they're too independent in many ways compared to something like EU4 and CK3. So they really need to work on the having the vassals, and almost like you can become a space king or proper. It never feels like you're controlling a full empire. The other point I think could make the game a bit more interesting is make planets rarer. So instead of having every system have planets in it, only a few star systems can actually support planets. I think that would alleviate the problem with your sort of empire sprawl and too many systems to manage.
Yeah, what you guys are proposing there pretty much sounds like moving away from the 4X part of the game once you've got past the explore side and fully focusing on grand strategy. Because the game you're describing pretty much now is EU4 in space or Crusader Kings in space. And I think that would work. I mean, that's what people kind of expected from Stellaris anyway. And it was good that they tried to do something different. But it didn't kind of work out quite how people wanted. It's not a very good 4X game, in my opinion. But it's a good role-playing game. But I think that, you know, particularly with what Rob was saying, I think that would essentially turn the game into kind of Crusader Kings. Drexy, you made a point about AI. It sounded to me like you're making a point about AI, because part of the reason why the vassals don't work that well is the AI in Stellaris is crap. And it has been crap for a long time. And that's the main reason why I stopped playing it originally, was because it just couldn't play the game. So if you're assigning part of your, you know, something that could, you could essentially just conquer and take all those planets, well, you're just going to give it to the AI to help you. Well, that AI can't help itself, never mind helping you. So that's part of the reason why they don't work. So I think that just, if they want to focus on the grand strategy side of things, really what you've got is a game where it's like Civilization up until the point where you've discovered, you know, you've bumped borders with everybody and all the unsettled planets are settled. And at that point, it becomes EU4 in space. And that might make the game better because, I mean, at the moment, the war system, it's just not good enough to be a 4X game. And I know people will argue to toss over this with me, but war and, you know, whether we're talking about war on an abstract level and, you know, you're talking about all the sort of different forms of aggressive diplomacy and economic things that you can do to a nation to defeat them. But war itself is the most exciting part of a 4X, really. It's the culmination of most base 4X games. It usually ends up in war. And Stellaris just isn't that fun. So they have to do something with it.
Yeah, I agree. And that's something that it'll kind of just lead into what I was going to say next, and it's the last couple bullet points of what I think Stellaris 2 needs, and we'll continue to talk about this. But, you know, we talked about this earlier. I really think that Stellaris 2 needs victory conditions, you know, especially in most importantly as an optional thing, right? Because I think there are people that still want to play that sandbox game, that want to be able to play forever, but there's a subset of people like myself that need victory conditions. And I think that with a 4X game, when you start to lean into that 4X game genre, that you need to have victory conditions, that you need to have something. And I think, you know, that we've mentioned this before, and I think that this is where it would work really well, is to kind of steal from Distant Worlds here. And this is where you could make the factions feel a little bit more asymmetric, and that you could either A, choose your victory conditions, or B, depending on what civics and stuff you choose, you're assigned victory conditions that kind of relate to your civics and stuff like that. So, you know, if you're playing a corporation, then of course your victory conditions are going to be more about, like, you know, maybe accumulating the largest trade routes and also having, you know, a certain percentage of all the trade in the entire universe and stuff like that. Those things are important to me. And I think that if you had dynamic victory conditions based on those kind of things, it would encourage you to replay and try new faction types and new civics and stuff like that. And then finally, I think it would still continue on with that grand strategy thought. And I think you're basically saying what I've been thinking is that, you know, when you mix 4X and grand strategy, I think the beginning part is cool, because if you talk about Europa Universalis, right, there's no exploration. The map is set, right? You see the map and that's that. And I think that's where the 4X elements come into place with Stellaris. So you have this beginning exploration period where people are grabbing land and doing all that stuff. That's your 4X element, right? And that's a really fun element, in my opinion. And I think Stellaris nails that. And then, like you said, once people start to butt up against each other, once the boundaries are set, the borders are set, that's when that Europa Universalis in space kind of happens. Or, you know, you might start throwing some Crusader King elements into it with characters and stuff. But with that being said, I think something that would really help the mid-game at that level too is that you start to have those missions, those goals that you have in Europa Universalis, right? You know, and they'd be dynamic based on your situation. So if you're butting up against, you know, a purifier or whatever, you know, it might be like, hey, take certain system from them, or, you know, figure out a way to make them not hate you. You know, those dynamic missions that are created in Europa Universalis, I think would work really well in that situation, because it would give you things to do. And, you know, maybe there would be some sort of system in which once you complete the missions, you are gaining favor, you're gaining something that will help your empire in general continue to thrive and continue to better itself. And that might be a way to actually accumulate unity points instead of the way it is now, which is just a passive thing. You know, you could create a system where the more missions you accomplish, the more unity you have. And the more unity you have, the more you're going to work towards those tradition goals and gain more perks and stuff like that.
No, I really like that idea. I think that sounds good. I mean, that would alleviate some of the main issues that I've got with Stellaris. That it's kind of a half-assed 4X and it's a half-assed grand strategy game. So it's like, I don't want to slander Paradox too much, because it's a massive game and the scope is huge, and you've got to give them credit for making a game that's as good as it is, because it is a good game in many respects. And I want to point that out. It is a good game in a lot of respects, and a lot of people enjoy it. But I can't help think that if they hadn't have tried to get Master of Orion and EU4 and bang them together and seen what happened, if they'd actually gone back to the drawing board and just created something totally new, like what Steve's doing with Alliance of the Sacred Sons, it just doesn't seem to be based around anything. It's just a completely new game. And it kind of does, at least in the beta stage that I've seen, it kind of does what Stellaris promised to do with that, you know, way better. So I don't know. I just think that I think the issues with the existing game might be down to, you know, kind of trying to rely on familiar tropes and familiar game, a familiar model for the game, but rather than, you know, sticking close to that, like most Master Orion clones do, they sort of they went somewhere else with it and tried to make something like two games and didn't really make anything. You know, I mean, and yet still made a kind of fun game out of it. It's just weird. I think having dynamic victory conditions would be an absolute, it would certainly help the game. It would help the game if they went down the 4X route, I want to say. If they decided that they're going to go more towards EU4 in space, then maybe dynamic victory conditions aren't going to be necessary, because then people are going to be more, you know, if it's going to be one of those games where it's very hard to map paint and you have to set your own goals, and then it's not going to be so important. So they need to pick what the game wants to be. You know, is it going to be a four? Does it want to be Master of Orion with some Crusader Kings thrown in, or are they going to do something new with it? I think that's the question that they need to be asking themselves.
I think another issue with Stellaris is, especially with the last two DLCs, which I believe was Federations and Megacorps, is because they have this thing where they have to constantly throw out DLC once or twice a year, they've never gone back and fleshed out these ideas. So you get these really interesting ideas, but they feel half-assed and they're not fleshed out enough. I think in Stellaris 2, they really need to try and, when they release a DLC, they've got to work on it and flesh it out more, rather than just having it, put it out there and doing a couple of tweaks and then, oh, here comes the next expansion.
Yeah, that comes down to what I was saying, I think. I think that they need to build all of these systems into the base game. Like one of the reason why we started talking about this was because I think in most people's estimations, Crusader Kings 3 is by far the best game that they've released in recent years. It's certainly the most complete game, and it's the one that feels the most, it feels deliberately made, if you know what I mean, rather than they kind of had a model and then they realized there was something wrong and then tried to fix it, because that is the defining criteria of Stellaris as far as I'm concerned. They made a game, it wasn't that good, so they kept trying to fix it by adding more things. And you know, You ask any sculptor how it works, if you've got a sculpture that's not very good, what it's like to add stuff to it rather than remove it. And that's what they keep doing. They keep adding more and more stuff to try to plaster over the holes in the game and it doesn't really fix the base game. What's happened is they've got this big overbalanced statue now with one massive arm. It's like the Venus de Milo, but with a huge misshapen head and one fat elephant leg. I don't know. I'm just, you know, this is the problem. This is the main issue with Stellaris, that they've kind of feature. It's kind of like DLC paid feature creep, except people are paying for the privilege now. They need to get this game, Stellaris 2, they need to get it right from the start. So they need to design the game so that when they release it, just like Crusader Kings 3, it all works dead well. And, you know, okay, I've not played Crusader Kings 3 as much as some people, but at least in the 25 hours or so that I've played so far, the game seems really good. It seems really complete. There's nothing in there that annoys me. Even the military system that, you know, they've kind of recycled from the other games, it's just presented better. Maybe that's what it needs. They need to build the game with a strong map of what they're going to do with it in mind, and not, well, we're going to add DLC at this point, we're going to do, you know, then we'll add espionage, then we're going to add economic systems, then we're going to add robot races. They need to plan it all from the start. And if that means making the game less complex at the start, then so be it. But they need to do that in order to make a better game. You can't fix games by adding more and more DLC to try and cover the holes. It doesn't work like that.
I think you've pretty much nailed it with that analogy, because, yeah, that's how it does feel with Stellaris. It's like every DLC seems to be just like a Band-Aid for what's come previously. And it's gone to the point where it's just, you know, your arm's held on by a bit of string and your legs held on by some plaster. And
that's it, exactly.
But, yeah, like you said, in CK3, they took CK2 ideas, which was starting to become unwieldy, and just condensed it nicely into just a nice package. But do you feel Paradox are even close to releasing a Stellaris 2? I'm wondering whether they should do almost like a 3.0 release where they just said, right, especially this would really help new players. They almost just merge all this DLC into the package. I know from a business point of view, this might not make sense, but I'm sure they've sold enough of this DLC now where they can just say, okay, look, we aren't ready for 5 years, for example, to make Stellaris 2, because the way Paradox do their games, it's like a very long time until they do the sequel. So they can just do a 3.0, just wrap all this DLC into the base game and fine-tune it all and make it just more coherent. And then from then on, they can start adding more DLC to help them develop the game.
You guys have both hit on points that, you know, again, that really resonate with me. But the one takeaway for me is that, like, it's funny, and I've seen this. It's not even funny, actually. I've just seen this a lot in a lot of forums and stuff, and a lot of when people start talking about Stellaris, and we will point out a feature that doesn't work, right? Like, you know, before it was diplomacy and federations, and now still it's combat. And the joke is, well, we'll just wait till the next expansion, right? We'll just wait until the Federation's expansion. We'll wait until the diplomacy expansion. We'll wait until the combat expansion. And I think the problem was that, like Ben said, that the base product needed to be a lot more simple, I think, at a lot of levels, right? But it also needed to have a better focus on what it wanted to be. And instead of going back and, like, you know, trying to plug these holes, like you said, and that's exactly what they've done. They've released expansions to plug these holes, and the problem is that they've made it more complicated in ways that don't really feel fun and don't really feel like they've really fixed anything. So, and it's a joke at this point.
Okay, so here's my experience with Stellaris, and tell me if this sounds familiar, because this is anecdotally, right, this is what I see all the time when I see people who are discussing Stellaris. What happens is this: a new DLC comes out, so they buy it, usually kind of reluctantly, to see what it adds, and they play it for a bit, they play it for a game or two, and then they drop it, and then they wait for the next DLC to come out. Now, that is a sign of a game that's just not working. Like, the base game of CK3 is enough, right? That if I lose a game, I want to play it again. Because it's like, oh, that was mad. I want to play it again. I want to, you know, this time I want to focus on military, or, you know, that kind of thing. You don't just want to kind of play the game, see what the new stuff adds, and then go, well, you know, that was cool. Played it 20 hours. I'm going to put it down. That's not good value for money. So the only winner in this situation is Paradox, because they're just selling more DLC. And honestly, as long as people keep buying DLC for Stellaris, they're going to keep on making it. So, I mean, I am not going to tell people what to do with regards to the way that they approach Stellaris and DLC and Paradox in general. Make your own mind up. You're all adults, right? But personally speaking, I'm not going to bother with any more DLC for Stellaris unless they're also accompanying it with free fixes, because I see it as fixes, to actually make the base game better. And for me, they've got to start on the military. They've got to make the war simulation better. It's just not good.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, I bought Federations. I've got almost 400 hours in Stellaris, and I think I played maybe 10, 15 hours tops since Federations was released. I hated that expanse. I just didn't want to deal with it. It was just more busy work. They threw at me, and I just didn't want to deal with it, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, and to answer your question that you posed earlier, Drex, like I think they're going to keep developing it, because that's what they do, right? They're going to keep making expansions. They're going to keep trying to plug these holes. And as you said, I think Federations was a pretty mediocre expansion. I was expecting much more dramatic changes to the way Federations worked, to the way that diplomacy worked. And, you know, I didn't get that, and I was disappointed. And I think you're onto something. At this point, for me, even being the huge 4X fan that I am, I'm done buying their expansions unless I see something pretty dramatic. And I don't think we're going to see Stellaris 2 for at least a few more years. I think there was an 8-year gap between CK2 and CK3. And I want to say that Stellaris was a 2015 release, maybe 2014. So we're still at least a couple years away from a Stellaris 2, like even being a remote remote possibility. So I'm just hoping that, like we've pretty much discussed here, that they go back to the drawing board and figure out what kind of game they want Stellaris to be. Is it going to be a 4X? Is it going to be a grand strategy? If it's going to be a hybrid, then I would hope that they can figure out a way to incorporate the best of both, instead of making it kind of feel so hodgepodge and thrown together that it really just feels like, you know, like a Frankenstein monster that's not really working too well.
They've got some really good ideas, and you know, the strengths of the game that we discussed at the start of the episode, they are so strong that they could build a really nice game around that. They just need to go back to the drawing board with it. So, you know, this kind of Star Trek vibe that you've got at the beginning, they don't need to make that any more complex, because I think if they put too much detail in there, I mean, I had the idea of, you know, like away teams going down and maybe doing some ground combat and that kind of stuff, but I don't think it really needs it. But it's the mid-game content, you know. The role-playing elements of the game are really, really good. They are really, really strong. So, I mean, what would we do with Stellaris 2 with regards to the role-playing side of things? Let's just assume that they've come up with a good solid skeleton to build it around. What do you think?
I mean, this is where I think that characters play a role, right? And I think this is where, if you're going to lean into the role-playing elements, and I know that every time I hear something about Stellaris on like Reddit or something, that's something that's lauded, right? They're like, oh, well, these stories, they just come out of nowhere, and you know, you role-play this group, and it's cool to see, like, you know, how all these stories develop. And if you're going to lean into that, I still think that you need to go back to something that I think Paradox has a lot of experience with, and that is a stronger character focus. And I think that would be a lot of fun, honestly. I think it'd be great to see, like, you have the lizard people come out and, you know, you got a cool lizard character that you're really excited about, but, you know, over time he becomes maniacal and he decides that he's going to, like, rule over his planet with, you know, some sort of, like, dictator Iron Fist, and that screws things up, but it also creates a dynamic story that you wouldn't get from, you know, any other game right now. I don't know of any other game or any other 4X game that has such a focus on characters right now, at least right now, right? There's a few that are in development, but, you know, if Paradox wanted to lean into what they do best, I think that they need to focus more on those types of elements before they lose their way again, like they did with Stellaris.
They could definitely take a leaf out of Crusader Kings' book and have a more complex character system. There are already some story elements in some story events in Stellaris where, you know, it will happen to the same character and there'll be a sequence of events. Like, there's one where I forget what happens now, but one of your characters kind of goes missing for a while, and or they come across some kind of anomaly, and then I can't remember what happens, but there's a sequence, and it happens to the same character. But because the characters are so unmemorable in Stellaris, I mean, what do you ever kind of like go, oh, that's my favorite scientist that just died? Because I don't have any connection to any of them. I just don't think they're interesting. I think the same. It's the same with the research system in Stellaris. It's so mundane that I just don't. I mean, I thought Distant Worlds had a kind of boring tech tree, but Stellaris is rubbish. So that's another thing they really need to kind of. They could really lean into that. Maybe have some sort of procedural generated element to the way the research works. If nothing else, the point that I want to make before I hand over is just to say, they could do something with that, you know, Rob's just said this amazing experience and development they've put into the way that characters work in these games. These are very character focused games, the Paradox games, very much so. And they could do something like with Stellaris. You know, it would kind of make up for the janky AI, because if you said, well, okay, here's Lord Krokgar again, and he's just taken power, and he's having some internal war with his, you know, family, and there's certain systems that are seeded from his control. You could actually, there's a bit more of a story then going on with what's going on in these neighboring systems. And you can maybe if you can interact with that in some way, that at least would give the game a little bit more depth in the mid game.
Yeah. I think the problem with Stellaris is because it's set over thousands and thousands of years, and you're in the future, but for some reason, you know, you can have your character die at 60, 80, 100 even. It makes it hard for the game to have characters if they're just going to die so early. I mean, you're in the future. Surely they have tech of making your character live for 400 years. Sort of like a Warhammer 40K, you know, you have your emperor's been around for thousands and thousands of years. They really need to make the characters live a lot longer, because that way you can build a relationship with the character rather than, oh well, this scientist died or this governor died after thing, just plop another one with similar the stats you want in there. I think they really also need to develop sort of like the internal politics. Endless Space 2 did try and do this, where you sort of had voting and stuff. So rather than just having external politics, where how you're dealing with other empires, they need to have more focus on internal politics and the balance between you and your governors and even science and stuff. Just more internal politics will work really, really good.
Yeah, and I'll just say that there's got to be a balance there, right? Like I appreciate the internal conflicts and the internal politics too, and I think that the way that Endless Space 2 abstracted that was actually okay with me. But I don't really particularly like having to manage factions like we have to in Stellaris. I like having to keep an eye on particular factions to make sure that they're happy, so that they're not, you know, revolting and doing all sorts of stupid stuff. I didn't really appreciate that. I still don't enjoy that aspect. And, you know, when it starts to become an issue, I really have a hard time enjoying any of that gameplay mechanic. But, you know, I do think that the idea of kind of keeping an eye on the way your population is shifting politically is a good idea. And I think that would be something that could be fun. It would just need to be abstracted in a way that doesn't feel like too much micromanagement.
Right. But this is where it comes in with, instead of you dealing with the populations of a planet, you're having governors who control, they say, for example, three systems or whatever. Then all you have to do is interact with that guy and, you know, maybe give him some sweet deals or less tax or whatever. Where you don't have to deal with that population, you're putting someone in a management position to deal with that populace, and it means it's less micromanaging you need to do. I think we should move on and talk about combat. How I know a lot of people really dislike Stellaris combat. What do you guys think of it?
Well, combat for me, I don't mind the sort of setup and watching it go style of combat. I really like that in Dominions, but that, because in Dominions, that's really, it's really kind of involved. So there's a hefty setup before each battle, and then you get to watch your tactics play out, or, you know, so you see your victories and you really feel your victories in you, and you can lament your failures and you can learn from them. Gal Civ 3 has a similar sort of setup to Solaris, although being turn-based, but there's kind of more to it in a sense, because there is this system where you have ship roles that you design your ships to be kind of guardians or escorts or kind of strike craft. And then there's some nuance there in setting it all up and watching it go. If Stellaris are going to stick with that, then they need to give the player more control over how battles work. So, I mean, I've not played Stellaris for a little while, so I don't know if they've changed this recently, but usually it's just you click on the enemy fleet, and then it's entirely down to the composition of your fleet. That's not enough for me. I want it to be more interesting than that. Now, obviously, if you, with a game as big as Solaris, when there can be many, many battles, I'm also a little bit reluctant for the battles to take too long. That will really fatigue the game out if the battles are too involving. So I think, you know, RTS style or turn-based tactical combat is out. They need to come up with some way of doing an abstracted combat that's just more involving. And I know that that's not Paradox's strong side, really. They've never really managed that. Actually, I think Crusader Kings 3 works really well. And I don't know if that's just because it's better presented than the previous games. But if they can kind of come up with a combat system that just doesn't feel like so hands-off as it is now, that would be a big thing.
Well, and I think, again, I might be a little bit controversial in saying that I feel like there should be smaller fleets and there should be more specialized roles in combat. So, you know, like Sins of a Solar Empire, right? So Sins of a Solar Empire, you have some main capital ships that each of your fleets are focused around. And then you have role ships that play certain roles, but there aren't millions of ships, right? You have these capital ships that are basically the mainstays of your fleet. And then you have, you know, when you compose your fleets from there, you have focuses. Those fleets have focuses based on the ships you're putting in them. And I feel like if you had smaller fleets, you had a bigger focus on these capital ships or larger ships, and maybe, you know, there was a bigger focus on how you composed your fleets that would, you know, have special roles, you know, that would be more fun. And I think that also plays into what I believe is, you know, like when you start to get into the mid to end game and, you know, you have fleet strengths of like 30K, 40, 50, 60K, it just gets a little ridiculous that you have like literally thousands of ships within these fleets. You know, I don't think that A, that kind of scale works well for space games, and B, I just think it's kind of unrealistic too. I just feel like you're never ever going to have, you know, I just don't ever believe it, even if we become spacefaring or ever, you know, interact with in a civilization that's spacefaring, that they're going to have thousands of ships in a single fleet. So that works well for Europa Universalis, where we have thousands of people you can have in an army, but not so much when you're spacefaring and you're talking about fleets.
I think that might be unpopular, because I think part of the appeal of Stellaris is its huge scale, and people like to see, you know, this vast industrial war machine pumping out, you know, loads and loads of ships. Now, whether or not that's realistic is the realm of science fiction and speculation. So I think but you did touch on something, Rob, that I think is interesting. You know how in Star Ruler 2, the way that it works there is you build a capital ship, and then almost as an add-on, you just add more and more auxiliary ships. So you can still have huge fleet sizes, but it doesn't take any micromanagement, really. You just kind of say, I want another escort. So, and then I want another 100 escorts. I want 100 bombers, and I want 100 strike craft. And then you just click on them. And so you're really just, you're building fleets as a thing rather than building like a series of like AI war, the way that AI war works. So, you know, you've got this fleet carrier, and then you just kind of click a button and you're like, okay, I want 100 bombers. I want 100 escorts and 100 interceptors. Or, you know, towards the end of the game, it might be, I want 10,000 escorts. I want 10,000 interceptors, whatever. So maybe scale it up like that. Star Ruler 2, by the way, there are lessons to be learned with the way that game scales things. And I don't mean necessarily with the way that it physically scales stuff, because it does that crazily as well, but just with the way that it scales up the size of everything as the game progresses. I think that Stellaris could take a cue from that, maybe.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, in the early game, you can do stuff like you can look at your neighbors and say, oh, I can't, honestly, I think, like, for example, if they're using lasers, I think you can just build shields on your ship to counter that. But once you start getting into the later game, where that stuff just doesn't matter anymore, you're not caring, oh, they've got these, they're using these weapons, I need to build this way. It just becomes a numbers game. And the other thing Rob was mentioning about abilities, they did kind of add that with Titans. Titans do have auras, but again, it's a typical Stellaris problem where they add something and it's never sort of fleshed out properly. I think what they could do is, like Rob said, maybe smaller fleets or more, it's more of a composition rather than individual ships. Stuff like Titans can become almost like hero units in this game.
That sounds cool. I like the idea of that.
Yeah, see, that would be, and I think both you guys make great points. I think that with the focus on capital ships or carriers or something to that effect, or hero ships, and then, you know, less so the focus of fleets and stuff like that that accompany those ships, that makes it sound more fun to me. And, you know, I still think that, like, if you consider an AI War 2 fleet, right, your composition of those ships actually matters. Like, you know, the sniper ships are really important because you want some ships that are going to stay back from far away. And I mean, could you imagine that in a Stellaris game where you have some ships that are staying at the edge of a system firing away at your enemy ships, where you have other ships that are coming in and doing their like bombing runs, and then you have fighters taking out other fighters and capital ships is blasting at each other, kind of like almost like a Star Wars fight, or, you know, even a Star Trek fight where there's, you know, just fewer ships but much more, you know, there's just much more action, much more strategic focus and tactical focus than there is now.
I've just thought of an idea. I mean, you've got all these different empires and you build them differently. Like, you can become psychics, or you have like robots or whatever. Or if you have sort of like a system where your Titan can do sort of like a psychic attack on the enemy fleet, or your machine empire can start hacking the enemy ships, and you almost have like a mana system where you can only use these abilities a certain amount of times within a certain period. I think because they have these different ways you build your race, they can sort of go into how combat is different, because at the moment, your race doesn't really affect combat at all.
Yeah, yeah. Anytime they can lean into those asymmetric ideas, I think is a great idea. And yeah, of course, if you have like a machine race and during the battle, they're like assimilating part of the enemy fleet and making it more of their own, you know, something to that effect would be amazing.
We are the Borg. Lower your shields and surrender your ships. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile.
Yeah, something like that. I just think that if you had a combat system where you were using ship roles in ways that were actually, that actually made sense, that were, you know, kind of changing the way, like if a system that was having a battle felt like it looked more tactical, you know, where you're using ships in different ways and the entire system is being used in a way that would exploit each of the ship roles, like, strengths, I think that would just look cool and be more fun. So I just think that's something that they should really lean into. You know, in before we get into a little bit further, I want to talk about a couple more things, and then I think we should wrap this up. But I do want to talk about the immigrant crises, because I think they work. The crises, I think they work really well, and I do want to see them continue on into a Stellaris 2. And then I do want to talk about drive systems, which is something that they originally started with, and the move away from them was a big deal. So what do you guys think about either of those?
They shouldn't repeat that situation where they create features and then take them away. I think that the removing the FTL, the different FTL systems, made the game better, but man, was that unpopular. Like, seriously, that lost Paradox a lot of goodwill points with the community, and I mean big time. So, you know, as long as they've learned their lesson on that, they need to build the game right at the start, and if it takes them a long time to do it, then so be it. But no, none of this adding features, taking away features, you know, chopping and changing the game halfway through, it's just a bad idea. I mean, as far as drive systems are concerned, if they can come up with a way of adding multiple different systems, then fine. What about, right? Okay, so we're talking about this economy system. And what Drexy was saying, you know, how about having a mana system or something? If the way that you tailored your empire with the way that it fights or the way that it flies is to do with the resources that you've got. So if you've got some kind of psychic based resource that you can get access to, then you could build these kind of psychic type ships. I know they've kind of got stuff like in there already with the existing resource system, but I think they could really go to town on that. And then that could be one way that you could create different drive systems, providing that they come up with a way of mechanically making it fair. That Stellaris's other big problem is the fact that it's a multiplayer game. And they're obsessed with balance. And balance is, I hate that word in 4X. I don't want balance game. I don't want balance 4X games. Balance 4X games, particularly in single player, suck. So, you know, if they're going to insist on it being multiplayer, they've got to come up with a way of making it fair in multiplayer that still allows for some kind of asymmetry. So that's my final point, I think.
Okay, back to drive systems. I think the problem with drive systems was the game, you build these defensive structures at your choke points and someone could just jump past them. Now, if you go back to a previous point I made, rather than having individual systems, it's sort of based around a planet and that planet controls a sector. So instead of just coming in and taking system by system by system, to take those systems, you have to actually conquer that sector. That way you can have your defense, your whole defense in one system, all your defensive structures in one system. That way you can have all these different drive structures and it doesn't feel like you're being cheated because they can't just go behind you and take a bunch of systems that you have to run around and retake. No, they have to go to your main system and conquer that actual system. That way you can have all your defensive structures and you don't have to worry about these little choke points. I mean, I was one who wanted the drive systems to be removed and just have it as star lanes because the way the defensive structure works and because the way you take systems from an enemy player. But I think if they have more sector-based system, then drive systems will be a lot better option.
I do think that would be one way you could accomplish that, right? I feel like, again, we mentioned asymmetry. Like, and I've also been a huge fan of asymmetry for as long as I can remember, and I've been a huge proponent of it. So anytime you can add asymmetry to a game, I'll talk till I'm blue in the face. And I think that it's when you had different drives, you had asymmetry in ways that felt pretty cool. You know, it was always kind of fun to see what your neighbors had, right? And it was also kind of fun to change things up a little bit. You know, like one time you might do the warp and then you might do the bubble drives or whatever they're called. And you know, that was a lot of fun. And I think that if you could go into the game understanding that you need to have choke points, that you need to be able to set up defenses in your systems, but also allow for the ability to have a variety of drives, then you're going to make a lot of happy fans, right? And I think the problem was is that, again, this is something that we talked about. They went into this with ideas that some of them were kind of half-baked and they didn't really consider the things that were going to happen afterwards. And when they start adding more defensive structures and stuff like that and change the way that you take over systems, they weren't ready for that because they had different warps.
I think the only way that they can make different kind of drives work in the existing mechanical system that they've got is to remove the node-based gameplay. So they'd have to go to more like a distant world style thing where that you are restricted by things like fuel and distance. Rather than restricting you to this kind of node, you know, based star lane thing, because it's not going to work like that. I don't think it just seems like if you stick to this kind of Master of Orion style node system, then you can't really you have to use it, right? You can come up with these other drive systems, you know, where they just jump to another point of the galaxy, which is again something they got from Master of Orion. But I don't really see how you can keep the game tactically interesting with this star lane system in that way and still have different drive systems. What are you going to do? You're going to have one that jumps two nodes? You have one that can just sort of jump to the other side of the guy? Well, that's already been done before. So, you know, I think they didn't really know where they were going with that originally, with the game originally, and they had to remove it. Like Drexy, I agreed. I thought that was a bad thing that they had there, and they had to remove it in order to try to make the game more tactically interesting. I actually enjoyed post 2.0 Stellaris more than any other point of the game. I just thought it made the game they made the war game better, and that's why I play these games personally. So
yeah, for sure, it made the strategic part of the game much better. And I think, again, like when you start to set up defenses and stuff like that, and you consider fleet movement and stuff, it made it a lot more interesting because there was choke points and stuff like that. And I agree that they just need to consider what they're going to do with that, and they need to figure out what the long-term repercussions of whatever they do might be, because, you know, they can't go back on something like that again.
Yeah, I just feel that, again, dropping the other drive systems was another band-aid for a problem that is rooted in the base game and the way the node system works and how you take systems. So I kind of think they need to just throw that out and start again, really.
I agree. So in short for me, and this is just my kind of conclusion, a wrap up from my perspective, is that I feel like, you know, and this is probably something that we can all agree on, is that if they need to figure out where they're going to focus, they need to figure out if it's going to be a 4X, a grand strategy, a mix of both. And if it is, then they need to lean into the things that work well for both. So, you know, the exploration phase of a 4X game works really well, and they did very good here in Stellaris 1. So with moving forward with that, I think that they would hold on to a lot of those elements, a lot of those like Star Trek, quote unquote, Star Trek elements. And then, you know, again, lean into their strengths of their long history with grand strategy games and make a mid game feel like a grand strategy game. And, you know, if they really want to add some flavor and add some variety, I think adding characters to that game, whether or not they are such a huge focus like CK2 or CK3, or if they're just sort of, you know, a focus, but not, maybe less so and maybe less chaotic than those games, I still think that would work really well. You know, you keep your end game crises as they are, because I think those are fantastic. And I think that the fact that they change every game based on a variety of things that are going on in the universe or just a dice roll, those are fun. You know, and if you add victory conditions to all that, I think you have a damn good game. You know, you fix the combat like we've mentioned, you do these things, you know, you might even take some cues from distant worlds and add some strategic resources that create tension between the variety of factions out there. And I think you have a game that we could all really enjoy.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that my sort of conclusion is this. I don't know if anyone from Paradox really listens to our podcast, but, you know, if anyone does, you've made a really good game in many respects, and it's been very, very popular. So you're doing something right. You've now got the opportunity to build on the foundations that you've started and make a genuinely epic, really good game. You just need to figure out what it's going to be. Get it right from the start. That's the only thing. That's just my non-professional opinion. Just get it right from the start. And I know that's easier said than done, but there's so much experience, and there's other games that you've made, and there's other games around that you can draw kind of influence from. But you can make a really, really good game here. And if we've not made it clear enough, there are some really, really good parts of Stellaris that it excels at. They're better than any other game. So focus on those and build around that.
Rob's going to hate me, but I've just thought of something else. We were talking about heroes. I just thought, why don't you have these different aliens, you know, like the space amoebas and the magnetic fortress or whatever it is. Why don't those become almost like your heroes? That would be a fucking awesome idea. I think if you can sort of, you can have your scientists work towards, you know, bringing them to your side, and those could be your hero units. And then you won't have this problem with, oh, well, such and such only lives for 100 years or something like that. That would be brilliant. Anyway, I'll try to wrap up now. Yeah, like I said, they just need to, they've got all these cool systems, but none of it's fleshed out. They really need to go back, look at everything they've put into the game and say, okay, how can we flesh this out? And again, like you said, it needs to be, once you get to the mid game, it sort of goes from a 4X game into a grand strategy game where it's nice to macro early. You built your empire, but now you've built that empire, it sort of take care of itself, and you can focus more on war, basically. I think that would be the best way to go with this. Also, diplomacy needs to be fixed and be a lot deeper.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think focusing on war and like diplomacy efforts, right? The mid game needs to be more about external stuff. Like there's some internal stuff for sure, but it needs to be, all right, now I've got all these people around me. I've got all these factions around me, all these aliens around me. How am I going to interact with them? Am I going to exterminate them? Am I going to try to make nice with them? And then, you know, there needs to be systems in place that allow me to manipulate those factions on a variety of levels. And that, I think, would add a lot of depth and a lot of entertainment to the mid game that just is not there now. So, yeah, I think this has been a really good discussion. It's way longer than I expected, which is cool because I think we had a lot to say. And I think some of the suggestions, honest to God, like if they aren't listening, I feel like at some level, some of the things we said are pretty, maybe we're just, you know, full of ourselves here, but I think they're actually pretty good ideas. And, you know, I think that with the right thought and the right mindset when they begin development, if they haven't already, if they go into it considering some of the things that they've done wrong with Stellaris 1 and that they have had to backtrack on, even that would be an upgrade from where they are now. So I'm looking forward to what they come up with, and I'm hoping that maybe someone's listening. Someone, please listen.
Yeah, I hope someone from Paradox is listening to this. Because at the start of this discussion, I wasn't really sure, but now I think we almost need to revisit this in maybe 6 months or something, because now we've spoken more with each other about this. Suddenly, I've had more and more ideas pop into my head. And yeah, well, we don't want the episode to go too long. But yeah, please, someone from Paradox, or if someone knows someone from Paradox, maybe it could be to Troy, maybe get them to listen. And maybe they'll pick up some ideas from our poor little heads.
Or they'll just be like, what the fuck are you guys on about, man?
Yeah, these guys know nothing about game design.
Yeah, you well, bunch of have-a-go heroes. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. You guys clearly know jack shit about how to make a game. And that's true to some degree. But yeah, I think this has been a great discussion. Thanks, guys, for joining me. Hey, Ben, thanks for being here.
Cheers, Rob. And thanks, Draxy. Take care, guys.
No problem. See you guys later.
Yeah, thank you, Drexy. And, you know, again, I just want to take a moment to thank all of our patrons that have been here with us, that have contributed to our Patreon, and that continue to support us in every way that they do. This episode is for you. I'm not sure how long it's going to be exclusive to you, but it's going to be exclusive to you for some time. At some point, we'll share it publicly so that we can maybe get some feedback from a larger audience. But yeah, I just want to take a moment to thank you guys because this is your episode. Thanks for being here. This was Rob, Ben, and Drexy for Explominates, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
See you later, guys. Bye.
Bye.